Father, this morning we choose to say you are worthy, you are great, you are mighty. We sing, great are you, Lord, in this place. God, we lift you up. Great are you, Lord. Father, we love you. We thank you for joining us. We thank you for being here with us. God, we honor you this morning. Speak to us as we hear your word this morning. Speak to our hearts. We love you, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Dennis Ledford said he'd say something to me when I got to preach. I appreciate that word. Oh, no. You're fixing to see something you can't unsee.
Now, listen. Any more outpouring of the Holy Spirit than you've seen this morning in a while? Listen, we have people in Cambodia.
That's right.
And right now, God is saying, you have people there. My Spirit is present. Pour out my Spirit. Ask me to pour out my Spirit. Right now, He is asking us in faith to ask for Him to do what He intends to do. That's how He works. So would you just right now, would you just all stand? Would you just all stand up? And out loud, let's pray for the people that are in Cambodia, that right now they would feel the presence of the Holy Spirit at this time, at this moment, and they would come back and say, you know, Sunday at 11:45, some incredible things happened in Cambodia. Would you do that right now? Would you just pray out loud? Father, I pray for forgiveness in my life. Lord, I come to you a sinner, but Lord, you say that you are powerful when we are clean before you through the blood of Christ. And Lord, we ask you to pour out what you intend to do in Cambodia. Lord, we release your Spirit through faith to do what you're already going to plan to do, Lord, and that you just want us to come to you and release your Spirit in an incredible way right now in Cambodia, Father, to accomplish only what you want to accomplish, Lord. And I pray for Brother Mark, as he's here this morning, Lord, that the anointing of your Spirit would be really strong on him, Father, that he would deliver exactly what you intended to deliver. Amen.
I just knew he was going to do something different than that. It's been a year and a half since I retired, and we started coming out here, and a little over a year ago I got to preach here, and I think once in between, and it sure is different to come, and now that I know many of you, and knowing Dennis always inspires a person about preaching, but I'm not going to talk about sin today. I'm going to talk about something else. Actually, I'm talking about all of it. Now, one of the things that's happened since I retired is that a year and a half ago, I've lost 40 pounds. And some of you are saying, do that a couple of times more and you'll be okay. But one of the things that I wanted to tell you is that I think I better keep this sermon short or I'm going to blow my diet. So I think there's a connection between these two. Now, tomorrow, in case you don't know, it's the 4th of July. And we celebrate our freedom. Historically, we have had to fight for our freedom time and again. It's something that we're committed to do. And many times, because we fight for that freedom, we have a tradition on the 4th of July of shooting off fireworks. Rockets, red glare. And that's always kind of commemorative of battles that we have fought down through the decades of time that our country's been around. We've had to fight for this. And tomorrow when you shoot off your fireworks or you go watch on a big display somewhere or tonight or every time between now and then, you're going to remember that people actually had to fight for this freedom. Now, one of the things that about fireworks that really will set you free, if you will get on YouTube, we tried to load it, but we couldn't do it today. But Get on YouTube and do a search for Dachshund with a Roman candle. You ever seen that? They set this Roman candle in the ground. They light it. It's going off. They're all having fun. This dog runs up and grabs that Roman candle in his mouth and starts running around. Now it's shooting sideways. I'm going to tell you, it sets some people free. Right there. I mean, there's freedom when you're running from a dachshund with a Roman candle in his mouth. Now, the only thing, I laughed and laughed when I watched that, and you will too, but the only thing funnier than that is this picture that they've got managed to load for me up here. Now, is that not the funniest thing? You draw eyebrows on a dog, and I'm entertained from then on. I mean, it doesn't take any more than that for me, and my wife thinks I'm crazy. I'll say, look at this, honey, and I'll just be laughing, and she goes, she just shakes her head. I think it's funny. There you go. I got a testament. Dennis, funny? Okay. There's three of us that are entertained by such things. And I'm going to draw eyebrows on my dog whenever I work up the courage. Because I'll be putting it on with a Sharpie. Anyway, I want to talk to you seriously, though, about what real freedom is. I believe it's the heart of the gospel. I believe it's the heart of our faith. And I believe it's the heart of Jesus' mission. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, Paul says, "It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery." Let me tell you what was going on in the churches in Galatia. Paul had come and he preached this gospel of freedom. Paul had known what it was like to be enslaved to the law, to the need for performance, to be morally perfect in order to be acceptable to God, and God had set him free from that. And he came preaching a gospel of freedom, and right behind him came some people saying, "Well, Paul didn't tell you everything. You really need to become a Jew. You need to obey all the Jewish laws. You need to do all these other things first before you can really become a full Christian." And he writes this letter to the churches at Galatia, and he says, "Who has bewitched you? Who pulled the wool over your eyes to cause you to believe a different kind of gospel than I preach to you?" It's just the exact opposite of it. And he lays out his case for this incredible gospel of freedom. And then in Galatians 5:1, he wants to drive the point home, and he says, "It was for the very sake of this freedom that Christ set you free, so that you would enjoy it, that you would have it in your life. Don't go back to a yoke of slavery. Don't go back to the slavery of the burden of having to deserve this grace from God. Don't go back to the burden of having to think that it's about obeying all of these rules that's going to make me somehow there get to a place to where I can say, 'You know, God, I know you died in grace for everyone else when you sent Jesus. He died for all of our sins, but I kind of deserved it. I hope that I've demonstrated to you that it really, you didn't need to have done that for me because I obey all the rules.'" I'm going to tell you, that is a slavery, it is a burden, and it is the burden and the slavery of religion time and time again, any shape, any form where you find it, whether it's Christian or any other religions of the world. They're all about what you can do and the burden you bear to try to atone for your own sins. So it was for freedom that Christ set you free. I want to tell you, I think it was exactly the very mission of Christ. You're familiar with the idea of a military mission. In this military mission, we have an objective, and we're going to go and we're going to try to accomplish this. We come up with all kinds of tactics and strategies in order to do that. If you've ever watched the movie Saving Private Ryan, that first 15 or 16 minutes when they're showing D-Day. They're showing the invasion of Normandy. They're on the beach. They're being shot up. They're having to hide. People are being blown apart here and there. You imagine, how did they ever get off of that beach? Because it's just nothing but lead in the air everywhere. And you raise your head, you get shot. A guy told me one time, he says, the reality is when you look at your congregation on Sunday morning, the spiritual battles that are going on are closer to that than they are to the serene picture that you see. We're all fighting battles, aren't we? We're all involved in a life and death struggle, it feels like, so many times. And you remember the subplot of that movie, and actually the main plot of it, is that Captain John Miller and this group of men have the mission of going in and finding one man, Private Ryan, and rescuing him out of harm's way and getting him to safety because his four brothers have been killed and they want to preserve this one son left to their mother. And so they go and risk their lives, and Captain John Miller gives his life in order to save Private Ryan. I want to tell you, the gospel's in every good story. And Jesus came into this world and He invaded enemy territory. And He came to set, even if it was just you, just one person, just Private Ryan, you, to set you free and to rescue you and to get you out of harm's way and to give you this incredible gift of freedom that He has given to us. And I want to lay out for you why I think this is exactly the mission of Christ. If you look in the Gospel of Luke, verse 4, what you're going to find is a passage where Jesus has come back in the early part of His ministry. He's come back to His hometown. It was on this day that it was His turn. You know, these little villages in the synagogue, every man in the village took turns being the guy that this Sunday I'm the one that has to read the Scripture. And it was, I think, Jesus' day to read in Nazareth. And He made sure He was back for that occasion. He goes into the synagogue. They take the scroll and they lay it out before Him. The steward lays it out, rolls it out, goes to the reading for the day. It was a prescribed reading. God's such a poet. Isaiah 61:1 was the reading for the day. And in the Gospel of Luke, He gives us His understanding of how that read and what it says. Jesus opened the book and He begins to read, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind and to set free those who are downtrodden and to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord." Jesus rolls that scroll back shut, hands it to the steward. He goes and puts it back where it's supposed to be, and then Jesus sits down to teach. It was the obligation of the man who read to expound upon what he read that day. And he rolls that shut, sits down. They're all listening. What's Jesus going to do? They've been seeing the headlines. They've been seeing Him in the news. He started His ministry, and He says, "Today, in the reading of this Scripture, you've seen its fulfillment." And they go, isn't this Joseph's boy? Isn't this the guy that worked down there in the carpenter shop? Before he gets out of that synagogue, they want to take him and throw him off of a cliff. And he says, "Well, you don't get any respect in your hometown." But I'm going to tell you what he was doing that day. He was saying, "Here is my mission, to proclaim release to captives, to set free the downtrodden." It was His mission. He came to do this for us, and it was in enemy territory that He did it. He came to our life, our world, and He had to fight that battle the way that you and I experience it. And you go into John chapter 8. And in John chapter 8, in verse 31, you see an exchange that goes on between Jesus and some people that have just come to belief, apparently. And He says to the Jews who had believed Him, "If you abide in My Word, then you are truly disciples of Mine, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Now, I want to remind you that Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through Me." The truth that you know that sets you free is Jesus. And they answered Him, "We're Abraham's offspring, and we've never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you shall become free?" And Jesus said, and you can imagine people today saying that kind of thing, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is the slave of sin, and the slave does not remain in the house forever, but the Son does remain forever. If therefore the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." And then you go to the book of Romans, chapter 8. And in Romans chapter 8, it says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death." And that takes us right back to Galatians 5:1. It was for freedom that Christ set you free. Brothers and sisters, do not let yourself return to a yoke of slavery. Experience the freedom of Christ that enables you to be set free from all of these things that are out there that are destroying us. We make decisions all the time that are self-destructive. Christ came to set us free from that. We are no longer bound to that except as we choose to be. He's given us the power and the freedom to be different, to choose a different kind of life through the power of the Spirit that sets us free. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. He gives us the ability to begin to change. He begins to, as they say, sanctify us, make us different. And He remakes you and me. And you know what He's going to do with us? You know where He's taking us? You know what He's going to make us into? He's going to conform us to the image of His Son. Doesn't mean we're going to become like God. We're going to become what God intended men and women to be. We're going to fulfill what God intended when He created humanity. Jesus gives us this true freedom, the kind that can never be taken away from us. Now, we talk a lot about freedom today, and it's important. Are we talking about, when we talk about true freedom, political freedom, social freedom, the freedom that government or constitution can guarantee to us? A government of the people, by the people, and for the people? Political parties, political candidates, all promise to preserve our freedoms. That's very important to us. It's the kind of freedom that can be fought for. The kind of freedom that can be legislated. The kind of freedom that can be guaranteed by the Bill of Rights. And tomorrow we're going to celebrate those freedoms. Freedoms that our country's fought for time and again, men and women have died to preserve. But even in a free society, with all of our freedoms, we can still find that freedom is elusive. Why do we feel so caught? It's a free country. We still find ourselves enslaved to things that laws cannot touch, that laws cannot guarantee, that laws cannot protect us from. We're enslaved to sin. We're enslaved to death. We're enslaved to greed. We're enslaved to lust. We're enslaved to sensuality. We're enslaved to addictions, to all kinds of things. We're enslaved to the need for financial security. We're enslaved to success. We're enslaved to winning. All of these things can bind us and hold us and make us feel trapped in life. I think Christ came to set us free from these things. Because who can set us free from the things that I've just listed? These things that enslave us. I'm going to tell you, it's sure not a political party. Who can set us free from these? It's not a candidate. Who can set us free? It's not the Constitution, and it's not an army. There's only one army that was needed to set us free, and it was one person, Jesus Christ, invading enemy territory to set you and me free. That is the gospel. That's His mission. That's what He has done for us. And so anytime we want to talk about our faith, our values, or anything, let me tell you, there's one word that should be first in your vocabulary, first in your conversation. And that word is Jesus. It's not about our felt needs. It's not about our desire for freedom or the guarantee of constitutional rights, all of these things that are important to us, but friends, they are not ultimately important. There's only one thing that we should be talking about when we talk about what matters the most, and that one thing is Jesus and the fact that He came to set us free. And when He sets us free, you can be free anywhere. When He sets us free, you can be free under any government. When He sets us free, you can be free in prison. Back in the spring, I saw a story they did. Said in China, you know, China's kind of loosened up a little bit. And churches got to being so successful that the government, back in the spring, began to go around and close down churches, especially if that church put a cross on top of their building. So they were actually, the government was going around taking down crosses. And Christians that continued to try to meet there were being arrested and harassed. And this reporter was talking to a church that was now meeting in a home. Kind of sounds like the book of Acts, doesn't it? They're meeting in a home, and this reporter says, "How many of you have been arrested because of your faith?" Every hand went up. Every single member of that church had been arrested. Every single one. And you know what was amazing? As you looked at these people, you did not see people that were afraid. If they were afraid, they wouldn't have come to worship in that house. They'd been set free from fear. They weren't afraid anymore because Christ had set them free. And there are Christians in prison in China right now who are freer than people walking around in our country on the streets with all the freedoms guaranteed to them that you can imagine. You know, back, speaking of China, back when we were doing mission work in China, it was the classic age of the missionary model, the Chinese mission. And whenever the communists took over, they forced all the missionaries out. And so the woe is me crowd said, well, the church is going to die in China. Without missionaries there to keep them going, without these missionaries living there in their compounds, and trying to westernize everybody, it's going to suffer, it's going to die, it's going to dwindle under persecution. And so all those decades go by, and then China kind of opens up again, and people get back in there. You know what they found? There were more Christians in China than there had been when we had full freedom to go over there as missionaries. There were more churches in China than that there had ever been imagined that could have happened any other time. How did that happen? How did these people, with absolutely no freedoms guaranteed to them by the government, be able to do something like this? And it is because Christ had set them free, Christ was empowering them, and they didn't look to some government or some political party or any other entity to guarantee those freedoms for them, because Christ gave them freedom that no government, no power, no entity can ever take away from you. He set us free from sin and death and gave us the possibility of a life. And that brings us back once again to Galatians 5:1. It was for freedom that Christ has set you free. Do not return to a yoke of slavery. Tomorrow, celebrate the 4th. Celebrate our freedom. Remember the people that have fought to preserve that freedom. Thank God that we live in the United States of America. What a privilege. But I hope you'll also, at a much higher and much deeper level, thank God that He sent His Son, Jesus, to set us free with a freedom that no earthly power can touch. When the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. Ushers, come forward.